This is Eugene's introduction in Spanish. Antes de empezar, quisiera dar las gracias a todos los compañeros anónimos, hombres y mujeres, quienes han hecho posible este día. Gracias por su compromiso, liderazgo y amor. Y gracias a todos ustedes aquí por su participación. Seremos mejor por ella. ¿Puedo tener una ronda de aplauso?
This is a translation. Before I begin, I'd like to thank all those anonymous fellows, men and women, who have made this day possible. Thank you for your commitment, leadership, and love. And thanks to all of you here for your participation. We will be better for it. May I have a round of applause?
Yahoo!
And welcome. I'll start with an introduction. My name is Eugene.
I'm Eugene.
I've been in Al-Anon for 14 years. I started my recovery here in District 14. I am grateful to those that have held my hand and helped me begin my journey in recovery. It is important to study the steps and traditions, and to read Al-Anon literature to recover and to work with a sponsor. I began doing service work for District 14 12 years ago. I found that service work gave me opportunities to really practice the steps and traditions. I was encouraged to work with others, develop healthier relationships, and healthy boundaries for myself. I learned new ways to take responsibility, trust others, and myself. I became a better person. I learned new ways to love and be grateful. I came to believe in a power greater than myself. I changed my attitude. Aloha. Thank you for having me speak today. When I began the Al-Anon program, the steps and traditions were a foreign language to me. I did not know who I was and how I felt. It was like looking into a forest with no path through it. I needed to work with a sponsor and trusted friend to help me understand my true self. Before I came to Al-Anon, I felt I was alone and unique. I was ashamed of my family and my upbringing. I felt I had been hurt and I was a victim. I felt I needed to keep my past a secret to be accepted. I am an adult child of alcoholism. My family was a mess. The dictionary defines a mess as a state of embarrassing confusion. In many families, and in my family, alcoholism is a family tradition. It may be passed on from generation to generation. Drinking is encouraged. Alcoholism may be expected and accepted. My father grew up in an alcoholic family. He may have become an alcoholic early in his life. He had two brothers, and they liked to drink and fight. My father became a Golden Gloves boxer in his youth, and as an adult, he loved to scare people. It was his method of control. My father was an alcoholic when he married my mother. We were a family of 12, two parents, one older sister, five younger sisters, and three younger brothers. I was afraid of my father. As a child, I was always nervous and on edge around him. We never had a healthy father-son relationship. My father could be an angry and jealous person. He intimidated people. He was not physically violent with me, but his words were like a sword. When he wasn't drinking, he was very strict and demanding. When he was drinking, it was opposite day. He was unpredictable and dangerous to himself and others. I did not understand or love my father, and I did not want to be like him. And most of the male role models in my early life were alcoholic. One interesting character in my childhood was my grandfather, my father's father. When he became widowed, he retired, gave up his home, and visited my family often. Life in my family was about keeping secrets from each other and from the alcoholic. I learned that I needed and wanted to be better than the alcoholic. I felt if I could be better than the alcoholic, then I could be okay. As a young man, to be an adult was about being right or fixing it. It was not about expressing my feelings, making friends, and having compassion for others. If I could not fix it, I was a failure. I also learned how to lie. Living in denial of alcoholism and its effects, making excuses, not telling and living the truth, became a natural habit. My mother did her best to raise the family in this environment, and it was her hope to keep the family together at any cost. She made many sacrifices, and her actions often caused unintended harm and confusion. As children, we were cared for as a group, not as individuals. I attended a Catholic school. I learned my values at school, and life at home was something different. I grew up to expect less, but had great expectations because alcoholics will promise more than they can ever deliver. Disappointments and failure, acceptance of failure, was a common feeling for me. I was a part of a family living in denial of alcoholism, afraid to communicate with each other, and a fear of love and trust. I was expected to behave, to set a good example for my sisters and brothers, and to always put my family's needs first. This meant keeping secrets, pretending everything was fine, and being afraid to question anything. I lived in a fantasy world, believing someday it could be different. I grew up with high expectations for myself, someday. I tried to be better than, and I was an overachiever. This is a defect I still struggle with today. When it is time to jump, I leap. My father started attending AA when I was 12 years old. My mother joined Al-Anon shortly after. He was able to help many people in AA, but his own recovery was a lifetime battle. My mother learned to cope. My parents did not talk about AA or Al-Anon. I don't know if they were ashamed to talk about it or if they were afraid to talk about it. I thought AA and Al-Anon was a social club. I did not know or believe it was about recovery. My teenage years were chaotic. One of my heroes at the time was David Janssen on the Fugitive television series. He was always on the run, searching for the one-armed man helping people on his way, always saving himself from the authorities at the end of the show and moving on. I felt like he did. It was difficult to keep a friendship or relationship very long. I was always moving on. In seventh grade, my parents took me out of Catholic school, and I went to a public school for 1 year and made new friends. My parents then returned me to the Catholic school for eighth grade and high school. When I was a junior in high school, I made a decision myself to return to the public high school. It was a very confusing time. I had two sets of friends. I was two different people. I was popular and excelled in the public schools, and I was quiet and withdrawn in the Catholic schools. I was always making new friends. I became an introvert and an extrovert. At times, I was a clown or rebel. Other times, I may hide and avoid others. I learned to hide my feelings and avoid friendships and confrontation. I did not know how to act. I did not know what to expect from others, and I did not know how I would react in any situation. I was confused. My father was secretly molesting some of my sisters for several years when I was a teenager, and I will never know what actually happened. It affected relationships in the family without me even knowing it. My sisters were fearful that someone would not believe them and the consequences of telling the truth to anyone. I started drinking alcohol with friends at 14 years old from the Catholic school, and I was smoking marijuana the next year with friends in the public high school. It was a lifestyle. I was encouraged to attend Alateen meetings, and I did for about 1 year. After high school, I moved away from home, went to a trade school in a larger city, and I was completely unprepared for adult life. I had no goals and had no direction. Drinking alcohol and smoking marijuana was a normal habit with friends. Eventually, I lost interest in school, became homeless for a time, and returned home several times and was always changing jobs. I loved to travel. I loved to hitchhike, and I did hitchhike around the Midwest for almost 10 years. It was a high for me. I could be like the fugitive. For work, I tried and did everything. When I was 18 years old, living at home, between jobs, my father was in AA and offered to help me. I spent a short time in a drug treatment hospital for marijuana use. I didn't understand why I was there, but it was a safer, saner environment than life with my family at the time. I wanted my family to be different. I did not feel I belonged with my family, and somehow it must be a mistake. I wanted my family to change. I did not want to change myself. My stay in the treatment hospital was an episode soon forgotten. When I was 19 years old, I traveled to Europe and spent a winter in southern France on the Riviera. When I was 20, I worked with my father on a job traveling to different towns across my home state. At this time, my father had lost his sobriety. He was on a drinking binge that would last several years. At the time, I felt I was the parent and he was the child. It was a dangerous job working with an alcoholic. I hated it, and I was relieved when the job was over. That fall, I enrolled at a state college. I had several college and government jobs to support me, and I lived life as a college student. I did not know what I was looking for. My relationships were sometimes obsessive and careless. College was a stopover for me. After 2 years, I decided to move away from the area where I grew up and away from my family. I felt my life and my family had become an episode in the Twilight Zone. I didn't understand it, but I knew I didn't want to be a part of it. It was not easy. I had no real plans. It was a shot in the dark to move, and I felt guilty. I felt I was abandoning my life and family, and I would not be there for my younger sisters and brothers that were living with an active alcoholic. I moved to California with a few dollars and a determination to succeed at something. It was a hard, lonely, and stressful time, but I felt it was my destiny. It was a new life. I had several years of good working experiences, over 30 jobs in 10 years. And fortunately, I found an apprenticeship program in San Francisco. Learning a trade and steady work gave my life structure. My personal life was something else. Marijuana use and alcohol were still a large part of my social life. I wasn't an addict, I wasn't an alcoholic, but this is what I knew. I had several uncommitted sexual relationships, but always felt alone. From the time I graduated from high school, I had been on a journey without any direction. When I was 32, my life changed forever. I met my life partner, best friend, and love of my life. She gave my life purpose. I felt I could finally share my life with someone. She was my hero. She had a great attitude, was smart, caring, always smiling, a love for people and life. And she was an alcoholic. Having grown up with alcoholism, I thought I understood this disease. She also grew up in a family with alcohol and addictions. And somehow, she understood me better than I understood myself. I had compassion for her and loved her as the person she was, not her alcoholic illness. Her addiction was a physical one. She was a great person that was unable to control her drinking. My disease was an emotional one, a need for someone, anyone, to make my life whole. We were married for 25 years. She had a secret affair with alcohol that did not include me, and I did not recognize it was a problem, or I was in denial for many years. I did not try to control her drinking, but I was her cleanup committee. Alcoholism destroyed her ability to live the life she wanted. I spent many days with her in hospitals, treating her addiction and her health. Her spirit and her attitude were always good. Her physical health was not. Having someone to love and care for, and having someone that loved me, was life-changing. It gave my life direction, and I became a responsible human being. I learned to take on responsibilities of a relationship with someone, and learned to take responsibilities for myself. My career opportunities made it possible to support us and to make my life and my community better. As a journeyman, I worked for the city of San Francisco as a construction worker for 26 and a half years and loved the work. I worked on city buildings and city projects all over San Francisco and spent the majority of my time designing and building sheet metal products and then installing them at the city hospitals, police stations, and the city jails. I loved the challenge. I was active in my union and served as a union officer for 20 years. I learned to have respect for myself, my skills, and work to improve working conditions and wages for myself and others. My wife and I participated in union activities, and we became a part of the union fellowship and family. I was on the board of directors of my homeowners association in Walnut Creek for 20 years. I served as president of the association twice, and with my construction experience, helped to maintain and improve the property. I have made many friendships and was active in recreational activities. My wife and I were able to travel often, visit friends and family, and discover many places in California, Hawaii, and beyond. Working for the city, we were able to travel 5 to 6 weeks a year. We both loved day-to-day adventures and travel. My wife encouraged me in my work, in my activities, and gave me the best advice. My wife's health was always an issue. She had more injuries than a professional football player. She had weak bones and frequently broke them repeatedly. I tried my best to help to be there for her through therapy and to recover from many injuries. We found out later in her life that she had hepatitis C. She may have had the virus for many years. Hepatitis C also caused my wife's death. My wife was admitted to several treatment centers for alcoholism after we had been married about 20 years. Her drinking and her health had become a serious problem that I could no longer deal with myself. I went to an Al-Anon meeting at a treatment center looking for help. And then I began to attend Al-Anon meetings to learn more about my part in this disease. I had grown up with alcoholism all my life, and this was all I knew. I also carried with me years of resentment for alcoholics and guilt for leaving my family. I learned that I am affected and that every member of my family has been affected by this disease in many different ways. I learned that I was qualified. Living with alcoholism in my childhood was enough to qualify for Al-Anon. My wife continued to suffer from the effects of hepatitis C and alcoholism. She was diagnosed with terminal liver cancer in 2010. I had little choice except to retire from my job to take care of her. It was the greatest, saddest, emotional time in my life. I was scared for her, but tried my best to keep the faith and hope for both of us. She died 6 months later. When my wife died, I fell apart. I had 5 years in Al-Anon, but I wasn't ready or prepared for her death. I had always believed in that magic moment when she would recover and live. Her death was a shock. Her death changed my life. My life would never be the same again. And I had to accept this. I experienced post-traumatic stress for several months. I became involved with a cancer support community in Walnut Creek before my wife's death. This organization helps cancer patients, their families, and caregivers. I was part of a therapy group that helps survivors of loved ones who have died of cancer. I learned how to meditate to overcome post-traumatic stress and grief. When we meditated as a group, sometimes we were asked to go to our own happy place. For me, my happy place was a beach in Kauai, Hawaii, that my wife and I had visited many times during our travels. I also felt a need to travel to visit friends and family to ease the pain and grief after the death of my wife. I no longer felt comfortable at home without my wife. It didn't fit. My home became an empty shell. There was nothing to go home for. My home in Walnut Creek became a home base, a place to live between trips. I began to look for a new home. I traveled to the Hawaiian Islands frequently, and I looked for locations to live in Northern and Central California. My heart and my spirit always returned to my happy place at a beach in Kauai, Hawaii. About 3 years ago, I found a home that was being built in Kauai and made plans to move. It was difficult to let go of my life in California, most of my material goods, and to leave behind family and friends. I love my new home. It is not everything I expected it to be, but I am happy to say it is my new home base, a peaceful place to live when I return from my travels. My happy place, my favorite beach, is nearby. Raindrops keep falling on my head, and that doesn't mean, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. So I just did me some talking to the sun, and I said I didn't like the way he got things done. He's sleeping on the job. Those raindrops keep falling on my head, they keep falling. But there's one thing I know. The blues they sent to meet me won't defeat me. It won't be long till happiness steps up to greet me. Raindrops keep falling on my head, but that doesn't mean my eyes will soon be turning red. Crying's not for me, 'cause I'm never gonna stop the rain by complaining, because I'm free. Nothing's worrying me. It won't be long till happiness steps up to greet me. Raindrops keep falling on my head, but that doesn't mean my eyes will soon be turning red. Crying's not for me, 'cause I'm never gonna stop the rain by complaining, because I'm free. Nothing's worrying me. Today's theme in Al-Anon is about working the program. In 2020, we begin a new decade. The best suggestions I have for anyone today is to make time in your life to work the program and to do service in Al-Anon. It has changed my life. It is often not easy to make time for recovery. When I found Al-Anon, I had to choose to give up other commitments to make time, and I have no regrets. Al-Anon has become a part of my everyday life, not just once a week for an hour. Today, I am no longer confused. I have learned to accept myself as I am, a child of alcoholism, and I can accept my family not as victims of this disease, but as survivors. For many years, I thought my family was the problem. I felt if they changed, I could be okay. As I work the Al-Anon program and better understand myself, I see that it has been my attitude and my feelings for my family that are the issue. They do not need to change. They are doing the best they can. I am the one that needs to change. I've had great sponsors in the Al-Anon program. My first sponsor had similar life experiences like mine. My sponsor gave me the strength to move forward in life before and after my wife's death. I started Al-Anon by going to meetings for adult children. I began to attend other meetings. I began to do service in the Al-Anon Fellowship. I learned to help others I learned to help myself by helping others. I began to attend Al-Anon meetings for men. I needed healthy relationships with other men. Most of the men during my childhood were alcoholics. I am thankful for the love, understanding, and respect I have received that my father could not give me. It has been good to learn from other men to understand, listen, and learn of experiences for healthy family relationships. In my family, men did not talk about their feelings. Feelings were not allowed, and feelings were a weakness. I am grateful that men in Al-Anon share their feelings and I can learn from them. We can also share and experience healthy relationships by doing service work in Al-Anon. I am not alone. I can ask for help. I can have the support of others. I've also learned to accept the loss of the greatest love and relationship in my life. I have listened to others in Al-Anon and the actions they may have taken. I may decide the best path for myself without judgment. I may be an individual. I may change my mind and seek another path without criticism. I am willing to care for myself first and to not harm anyone else. To be aware, mindful, and respectful of others and myself. I can be responsible, paying attention to my actions and reactions, making balanced and conscious decisions, keeping my cool. I'm learning to keep my mouth shut if necessary and when it is appropriate to speak up. It means having trust in myself and willing to be honest, willing to be supported by others and to accept help from powers greater than myself. I can ask questions. I don't need to have all the answers. My higher power will care for me if and when I will allow it. I can let go I don't have to make myself crazy with things and people I cannot solve or control. I may be happy. I may have a good attitude. It may not be easy. It may take a lot of work. And I am worthy of it. And those around me that may not seek or find recovery, but I may have it. As a child, I learned to lie, to live in denial, to make excuses for my actions. I learned to be manipulated and control others. It has been important for me, I can repeat these behaviors and may give these unwanted behaviors to others if I don't learn to control myself, change my attitude, my behaviors, and actions. Recovery is a daily exercise. I can lift myself out of my problems and walk away from people and things that are beyond my control. I am learning to accept God's will for us and the power to carry that out. Recovery is not on a timetable. It may not be the recovery we are looking for, but it is a recovery we can live with. It has been important for me to do service in this program. Attending a meeting is service. Reaching out to newcomers and helping those in need is service. We learn new ways to be responsible, new ways to respond to others, and new ways to respect each other. I have learned to have healthy boundaries with others, to accept others without criticism or sarcasm, and to mind my own business. I have learned to ask for help. I am making amends to myself and others. Making amends to myself is not easy. I have to find my truth, what is actually true, and what are my own negative thoughts about myself. I am learning not to blame myself for things and people I have no control over. I have to accept and work on my shortcomings. I have learned to have faith in my higher power. Today, I may drink alcohol on an occasion. Today, I have a happy life without marijuana use. I am also trying to accept alcoholics as fellow human beings. I'm still very affected. I may still react to alcoholics and alcoholic behaviors. I fear confrontation and flee rather than fight. The ghost of my childhood appears at appropriate and inappropriate times. In an instant, I may be triggered and fall short of my own expectations. I now attend AA meetings as a part of my recovery. It is a wonderful feeling to be with recovering alcoholics in AA. I am learning to have a better understanding of alcoholism and compassion for the alcoholic. I am learning to love the alcoholic, and I am shedding my resentments and fear of them. Learning to ease the fear of confrontation is also necessary and welcome for my recovery. It's important to me to change my feelings for my father and accept and understand his life and his struggles with addiction. I did not like my life and family environment as a child. I wanted it to change it. I learned in Al-Anon that I didn't cause it, can't cure it, and I can't control it. I need to accept my family for who they are, like me. Some are living with resentments, denial, a lack of love, understanding, and trust. With the help of Al-Anon and my higher power, I can remind myself I don't have to change everything. I can be happy. I attend Al-Anon meetings frequently to learn more about myself. I try my best to help others by being there for them, to listen to them, and to offer my love and support. Earlier, I mentioned my grandfather. My grandfather had 8 children, and his children married, and they had large families. When my grandfather's wife died, he retired and traveled from family to family. As a child, I saw him frequently every year. It wasn't a big thing, but he was there for me. I wanted to be like him. He was my hero. Today, the world is my family. I travel frequently to visit my families and friends. Thank you for allowing me to share today. God bless you. Aloha.